getting your home ready for winter because you know it's coming. Chances are you've already put up the storm windows, maybe stacked a cord of wood, and brought in the garden hose. What else is there? What more could you be doing to line your nest and get ready for winter? Are there energy-efficient upgrades you've been considering? Maybe even a new furnace or heat pump? How about just small, simple, do-it-yourself steps? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with a few experts about your options for creating a cozy home while saving money and preventing hazards or damage from ice and snow. We'll also learn about tax incentives available for certain upgrades and the newest technology on the horizon. What are your questions about ice dams, programmable thermostats, draft snakes, and more? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Most of us have trouble spots in our homes when it comes to keeping the cold and icy elements out. Whether it's better insulation or smarter heating systems, there are many steps you can take to prepare for Maine's long winter months. Our panel of experts is here to share some advice. Joining me in the studio, Michael Stoddard, Executive Director of Efficiency Maine. Tux Turkle is staff writer for the Portland Press Herald, where he writes about energy issues. And Richard Burbank is President, CEO, and Energy Advisor with Evergreen Home Performance. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for ways to reduce your heating bills? Have you ever had an energy audit? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. I'm going to start, Richard, by asking all of you, and I'm starting with you, what have you done at your own home so far this season to get ready?
Uh-oh. Well, the cobblest children sometimes don't have shoes. Well, I'm actually building a shed. And that doesn't sound like it's getting ready for winter, but my basement is the primary storage for the bikes and such. And the reason why that's a problem is the bulkhead door leaks a lot of cold air. So blocking off a bulkhead door is my goal, and I need to build a shed so I can get all my tools out of the basement and into the shed.
Oh.
But that's a common thing I see in homes as well, is the bulkhead door is not very well sealed.
Interesting. Are you going to make it?
Yeah, I think so. So far, the weather's been holding out.
Okay, Tux, what about you?
Jen, I'm kind of crazy about air sealing. So even though I've done a lot of it in my home, every year I feel like I'm walking around, putting my hand by a baseboard or a door. And I just want to see, is that something that still needs a little bit of work? And, you know, every year I find a little something.
Well, isn't it funny how when you block one thing, you know, there's probably a law of physics that explains this. When you block one thing, it means more air seems to come in somewhere else.
It does. It does. It's never ending. That's what I do every year.
Okay. Michael, what about you?
Well, I think I've spent the last month or so splitting wood and stacking it. And with the change in temperature this past week or so, I've put those wood stoves to good use. So that's getting that wood put up is the first thing, and then
so you're in really good shape right now.
I don't know, the aches and pains would lead me to think that maybe I'm not in such good shape, but also, like Tux said, working on the little things that I can do around the house. So there's always storm doors and storm windows that have to get out of the garage and back in where the screens were.
Okay. Last year when we did this program, one of the big things we were talking about, Michael, was the boost in sales of the heat pumps. Is that still happening? I mean, I remember last year your predecessor had some really dramatic numbers of how many heat pumps were being sold in Maine.
Yeah, it's continued at a steady clip, and these heat pumps are very high efficiency and quite affordable, and I'm sure Richard can attest that a lot of people have been very happy with their performance, even in very cold weather. So those have continued, and we've been really happy to be able to complement that with a similar kind of technology for hot water heating. So we have it both for hot water heating heat pumps and then the kind of heat pumps you use to heat the space in your house.
Okay, and Richard, why are people making this choice?
Well, it gives them other choices that they can address comfort in particular areas of the house in the most efficient way possible. I think in former times, they'd get a little Rinnai heater or something that was propane fired. They have a big boiler in the basement or a big furnace, and that's to keep the whole house warm on the coldest days of the year. But heat pumps have a lot of great efficiency in addition to the fact that they give you some options. They work best. They work great all year round, but they work fantastically in the spring and fall, where we have most of the time it's not negative 10 outside. So they're enormously efficient. You can shut down your boiler or furnace until you really, really need it.
And there are also air conditioners in the summer, which
as
it gets warmer in the summer, people seem to want that more.
One of the things we notice is that Mainers like to pick away at their energy projects a little bit at a time, you know, piecemeal. And one of the things that's nice about heat pumps is they're a supplemental heating unit. So maybe your old boiler or furnace hasn't died. It's still working, maybe limping along. It's got a few years left in it. But a heat pump can help take some of the load off of that central heating system and apply the heat right where you want it in the rooms that you spend the most time in. So it's directly heating those spaces very efficiently and cost effectively, and you don't have to replace the whole old system. You can keep that in place.
Another really cool thing is sometimes people are trying to source their energy from the greenest way possible, and you have options on where you get your electricity, whether you have solar panels on the roof or you choose to buy your power from a green source. People really love the heat pumps for that.
Because they're from electricity. They plug into the wall. Yeah.
You have some flexibility.
And how much does one run if, let's say you have a family room that you want to put it in. What size and what cost can one expect?
Yeah, I think it can vary by installer. Maybe Michael has some data generally throughout the state. But what I've seen, depending upon the particulars, are $3,000 to $5,000 and up, depending upon the complexity.
And you can take a little bite out of that with a rebate from Efficiency Maine,
yes,
between $500 and $750, depending on what configuration you put in. So that helps a little bit. But I also recommend. We always recommend to customers to try and get bids from more than one. So get Richard to put in a bid and then get a couple other guys to do it too.
Oh, we don't install them. So.
because you can get a better price with you get a little competition.
But I would also like to say that when we talk about heating systems, and we do that a lot on these shows, what we want to say first, make your house as tight as you can before you get any heating system, because you're going to need less heating system if you can reduce the heat load. And that's a big part of
it. Is it one of the tricky things, though, is people have started to make their homes too tight?
I don't think that's really a problem in Maine. I think most homes are 2 to 3 times leakier than the standards air change per hour. You would really have to do some amazing work in an older house, like really take
in
out
an
the
older
wall.
House.
Yeah, you would. I say that's not a concern, really.
It's definitely something to be considered, and probably more so in an older house. If you have a wet basement that you can smell, that's an indoor air quality problem, and as you improve it, you can cause problems. Or sometimes there's other things. Like I've been to a house where it's a little leakier than it needs to be, but the family's large. There's a large family there, and the windows really fog up, and they're underventilated because they don't have a bathroom fan that works well. So that all is incorporated into
it. Ventilation needs to be. But
there seems as though every time I pay attention to this issue, there's something new coming out. You know, several years ago, people were really focused on high efficiency gas furnaces. Starting a few years ago, we started to talk about heat pumps, and last year they really took off. Tux, what's the next thing in the horizon? What are people going to get all excited about? And is there something new?
You know, I'm really not sure what's new, but I know you wanted to talk about programmable thermostats. And one thing I think that is new with those that I'm really excited about is the Wi-Fi apps that come with them. Because for a lot of people, to be able to be traveling or be away and then to keep your heat low at your home and then say, I don't want to go home to a cold house, to be able to get on the smartphone and adjust your heat, I think that's a big deal. And it's cheap. You know, it's a really cheap option for people.
And this is, we're talking $50 range, right?
Yeah, it can be as low
just,
as that.
Just barely on those smart ones. Yeah, but the fancy schmancy ones are well over $100.
Yeah,
and sometimes
a Nest or something like
$250.
That.
But I'm seeing them in a lot of homes. I'm in hundreds of homes a year, and a good number of them, I'm shocked. You know, there's two thermostats that each cost $250 each, and people like that. You know, they like the functionality.
So I'm not sold yet, and maybe I'm just cheap, but tell me why a $250 programmable thermostat is worth it. Am I really going to save that much money on my heating bill in a year by turning the heat down a little bit when I'm at work during the day?
Probably not. However, it's a quality of life issue. You know, people like help being reminded. They like to see all the data, and sometimes people need to have the data. A lot of those have running totals of how much you're using, much like you can see your miles per gallon in your car. And that can motivate you to make much bigger investments because you're witnessing what's going on, you're counting. And it's more fun to kind of witness it with an electronic device than to add up all your bills over the year and make calculations with pen and paper and calculator.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I just want to add that there's quite a broad spectrum of types of these products. And so you should realize that the kinds that Richard are talking about are pretty fancy schmancy. And they don't make your breakfast for you, but they do give you a lot of information. And one of the things that's cool about them is that they sort of learn how you use the house and how you use the thermostat. And so they will make adjustments automatically. And that's what you're paying for with that more expensive end of the spectrum. You can still get the lower tech versions. That is what I put in my house. And they're not that expensive. And as long as you're paying close enough attention to set them appropriately and not overrule them too much, they can save you quite a bit of money at a very low cost.
So how much does it save to turn down the heat during the day? Because even though you're bringing it down, aren't you also taxing your furnace to bring it back up when people come home?
That's the question that all people always ask, and it's not that simple to answer. But the long and the short of it is you have to figure out, number one, do you have a heating system that can recover quickly or not? If you have an efficient house with radiant floor heating where it's a lower temperature in the floors, that takes a long time to change. And that's more efficient because it does operate on lower water temperature.
So it's more efficient just keep it at one temperature if you've got that.
Yeah, or you can bring it back a little bit. But in general, if you have quicker recovery, it does make sense. And if you're worried about coming back to a cold house and it not recovering, just adjust it throughout the season. Like in midwinter when it's negative 10 out, don't set it back 10 degrees because you'll never get there some days. But this time of year where it's 50 out, you can totally bring it right back. And those electronic thermostats that are simpler, more like 20, 30 bucks, I have two to install because it's hard to remember. And that does save money. The heat loss calculation is directly related to the temperature difference between inside and out. So it does save money.
I suspect we're going to get lots of calls and emails this hour, so I'm going to start a little early with an email from Patty. She writes, I want to comment on a community project that might be of interest. Window Dressers, and that's windowdressers.org, creates interior storm windows for people who don't have a lot of money to spend on installing new energy-efficient windows. It's cost-effective because the windows are built and finished by local volunteers. Tuck, do you know about this organization?
I've seen that they have workshops around the state, and I know people are very happy with them. You know, it's something that you can do in a workshop like that, or you can do this yourself if you're at all handy. But it's that getting that extra airspace and cutting the draft in an inside window. If you have leaky outside windows, huge difference.
Sure, creating that pocket. I remember when I had my first home energy audit, learning about convective looping.
Convective looping. Maybe we don't have time to cover that today, but the window dresser organization, I'm familiar with the founders up in the Midcoast area. It's really phenomenal what they pulled together with volunteer effort and following the laws of physics to our benefit. And windows are the greatest heat loss area in a house that's insulated or maybe not uninsulated, but it's a big opportunity, and there's a big gain to be had there, and very, very cost-effective. If you're concerned about the aesthetics, and you can invest in new windows. Maybe you can do that. But if you're really looking at being more comfortable, especially if you have an old house and you can't get there yet, they're fantastic.
Michael, you mentioned the $500 rebate at $500 in the ballpark for heat pumps in Maine. What else is available? I think there's a lot of assumptions that a lot of the tax rebates that were available a few years ago are not today. So why don't you tell us what is out there right now if you're thinking of upgrading some systems in your home?
Well, first, let me distinguish between tax credits and the kinds of financial incentives that you can get from Efficiency Maine. The tax credits, I'm not aware of any that are at the state level. There are some at the federal level, and we don't have any involvement with those. And I would defer to Richard to talk about which ones are still in existence and which ones have expired. But if you go on the website that Efficiency Maine keeps called, which you can find at efficiencymaine.com, and click on the tab that's about at home, it will give you a really comprehensive list of the rebates that we offer for homes, homeowners, and renters. In the area of home winterization and weatherization, we have a suite of rebates. So you can get $500 to $750 off on a heat pump, as we already discussed. On other kinds of high-efficiency heating systems like natural gas or oil, you can get $300 for gas. There's actually addition on top of that $300. And then you can get up to, I think, $1,500 for insulation. But most of those projects start with something that Tux was talking about, which is air sealing and an assessment. So you call one of these contractor firms, which you can also find listed on our website. You can type in your zip code and search for people who are near you and have the kinds of services you're looking for. And you can get $400 back to have somebody show up at your house and do at least 6 hours of air sealing and do an assessment, and they'll give you a little short recommended list of top priorities, and so you kind of know how to get started from there. So there's a bunch of rebates in the range of $300 to $1,500. We have a bunch of other rebates that are for electrical appliances too, and all of those I would really encourage people to check out on the website.
All right. And Richard, what about federal incentives?
That's a bit of a long story, and I'll give you the cliff notes.
Okay, good.
The tax credits have been in place in the past, unfortunately, it was originally intended to incentivize people to make these investments, but it's become a political football in recent years. So what they do is they have a big fight at year end on a tax extenders bill to extend these tax credits for another year retroactively. So if you want to have a tax credit for this year, you got to see what happens in the political wrangling at the end of year to see if you have a tax credit. There was a time where they actually passed it into the future for a year, but we don't know until January.
All right. Well, on that note, we do have to take a quick break. Lots of calls coming in. Looking forward to answering those. We're talking about getting your home ready for the winter. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Not too long ago, it could take astronomers 3 months to find a single supernova in outer space. But big data is about to change everything we know about the universe.
We should be finding about 500 to 1,000 supernovae every night.
Wow.
So millions within 10 years.
How big data is going to revolutionize how we understand everything. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
And you can join us for the TED Radio Hour tonight at 11 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. We want to give a special thanks to Stephen from Deer Isle for donating his Subaru Legacy. Donations to the Maine Public Car Donation Program make a big difference for your public radio station. And in most cases, it results in a tax deduction for you. Towing is free, and you can rest easy knowing that your vehicle gained extra mileage for the programming you enjoy and count on. If you're thinking of what to do with your car, we hope you'll consider Maine Public. You can visit mainepublic.org, click on support, and then Maine Public Vehicle Donation Program. And thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, how to get your home ready for winter. With me in the studio, Tux Turkle, who is a staff writer who covers energy issues for the Portland Press Herald. Richard Burbank is president, CEO, and energy advisor with Evergreen Home Performance. And Michael Stoddard is executive director of Efficiency Maine. We invite you to join the conversation Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, Jason Lindstrom, who is president and CEO of Evergreen Credit Union. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
I understand your credit union has a special program for people who are interested in weatherizing their home. What does the program offer, and how do people sign up?
Yeah, essentially what our credit union offers, you have to live in Cumberland County, but other credit unions offer similar programs. We have a personal loan that actually gets you a 0.5% off rate discount on things like split unit heat pumps that we were talking about, solar, wind installations, that type of thing, fuel assistance. We can do up to $15,000 max and up to an 8-year term on that. And so it's a nice significant discount, and we can stretch the term out so that the payment's affordable over time as well. But it's really definitely something for people to look into, is look into your local credit union, because there are credit unions out there that have these type of programs.
And you said throughout the state you can find these special loan programs.
Yes, you just have to look at your local credit union. Our particular credit union, Evergreen, we serve Cumberland County, so you just have to live, work, or worship in the county to be a member. But outside the county, there are other credit unions that offer these type of programs as well.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Jason Lindstrom, president and CEO of Evergreen Credit Union. We're going to go to an email from Max. Does putting plastic over your windows make a difference in heat loss? The plastic I'm referring to is the kind you use a hairdryer with to make it snug and tight.
The shrink wrap type of, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It does. You know, it doesn't last forever, but, you know, if you do it seasonally, I think people like it because you can see through it, for one thing, and it's cheap. So, yeah, I think it is worth doing.
And the window dressers, window inserts are kind of like having two layers of that same sort of thing that you don't have to stick to your window frame. Anytime I do a blower door air leakage test and those are in, they hold back a lot of air. They actually kind of belly out. They're working hard to keep that air in. So if you can't replace your windows or get at it, that's a great thing.
All right. We'll go to Laura, who's calling from Searsport. Hi, Laura. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, this is Laura Seaton, and I am so thrilled to hear so many people mentioning window dressers, because that's why I'm calling. I'm the director of community builds for window dressers, and we have 27 community builds across the state this year. We have a few left upcoming, one in Wells, one in Wiscasset, one in Rockland, and one in Portland at the Allagash Brewery. So if people are looking for a fantastic opportunity to volunteer and help their neighbors get warmer this winter, we do need volunteers at all of these community builds to build the window inserts. And I would encourage everyone to go to windowdressers.org to sign up for a volunteer shift.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Laura. And we will put that website on our Facebook page and on our website as well. I appreciate it. We'll go to Mike calling from Madawaska. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
I had a question about, I believe, what are called air exchangers. Not entirely sure if that's the exact term, but essentially that's what they do. I just built a house or a building that has like about 5 inches of spray foam and then actual fiberglass insulation on top of that, and then the sheetrock. And so the place is pretty darn tight. What is the benefit of the air exchanger? Is it for mold, or what would it do for me?
Well, this is Richard. Yeah, it's very important that you have adequate ventilation in any house that you live in. So if you succeed in making the house tight, then you need to vent it right. And that's actually an adage, make tight, vent right. So you've got the make tight part. So that's awesome. In terms of ventilation, the most reliable kinds of ventilation are something that moves air with a fan. So you could use bathroom fans or other exhaust fans running continuously. If you want to research this further, you can probably Google ventilation standards. And this is going to be a tough one, but if you go ASHRAE 62.2, ASHRAE 62.2. If you Google that, you might be able to find some resources. But the heat recovery ventilators, which you're talking about, actually have air coming in that's fresh that picks up some of the heat from the air that got exhausted from the house, and that's more efficient. Sometimes it's 70 to 80% of the heat that you pump out through the fan to exhaust the house gets recovered coming in, and that's the best of all worlds, and it's really nice. And I recommend it for all houses if you can afford the expense. Sometimes you can do it yourself because fresh air, as long as the outside air is nice, and in Maine, thankfully, it's usually better than a lot of other places, despite the fact we're in the tailpipe of the nation. But that's how they work.
Thanks for your question, okay, Mike.
What about the summer with air conditioning with heat pumps?
Yep. There's a couple of different types. Humidity is the concern there. And so if you Google heat pump, heat recovery ventilators, you'll see all sorts of articles talking about that. But there's different things that can handle that. And it does the same thing. Keeps it cooler inside and keeps the heat outside.
All right, we're going to move on. I think we're going to have a few questions about heat pumps here. Peter, go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. Speaking of heat pumps, as if there was some mysterious magical device that's new. We've had heat pumps for ages. Your kitchen refrigerator is a heat pump. You use electrical energy to pump the heat from the inside of the refrigerator, which is cold, to the outside of the refrigerator, where it's warm. And your air conditioner is the same sort of thing. You pump the heat from the house, which hopefully cool, to the outside where it's warmer. It's like pumping water uphill. And you use electrical energy to do this. It's much more efficient to get heat that way than it is to use an electric heater, for instance. That's the least efficient way to get heat.
Sure, Peter. I think the point is that the technology may be old, but the popularity has been on the rise for the last couple of years.
There is a technological advance, and what's new is that these work in cold weather now. That was kind of the stumbling block. In warmer climates, they've been around for a longer time, but in our climate, in the last, 5-10 years at the most, they made the kind of advances that let them work down near zero.
Peter, thanks for calling in. We have Gregory on Facebook, and I hope I'm going to be reading this correctly. I installed an HS Tarm wood gasification furnace 11 years ago and love it. Three cord heats whole season. Nest thermostat has been in for a few years now. Pricey, but great. Okay. What is an HS Tarm wood gasification furnace?
It's probably a boiler.
Yeah.
And it uses very high
heat. Like a two-stage boiler.
So it gasifies. And maybe there's a big storage tank for all the water. The problem is it generates a lot of heat quickly. So normally you put it into a reservoir of heat. And they work great. I think their popularity was more around 10 years ago.
I think before the wood pellet
boilers
came online, the cordwood heater was more prevalent.
But they're still fantastic. So you're lucky you got one.
An email from Graham. I would like to ask your guests if they could explain the difference between a cold roof and a hot roof, and maybe touch on why a log home heated with a wood stove that I might be getting condensation inside. Should I be thinking that it's an ice dam issue? I try my best to keep the roof clear of snow, but realize that raking does shorten the lifespan of the shingles. Thank you for your program and for your guest today.
Well, this relates to ice dams, and sometimes it's due to insulation problems, but the whole hot roof, cold roof, the outside of your roof should be cold in the wintertime period. What they're talking about is a hot roof is defined as one that has insulation on the roof itself, and a cold roof has a ventilation space, or it's actually got an attic below it. And the long and the short of it is heat can travel through a roof somehow, and there can be defects in the insulation or the air tightness. The cold roof is kind of a belt and suspenders approach. You try to get the insulation air tightness as good as you can. You run cold air from the outside to pick up what you might have missed. And a hot roof done well can perform very well, but the insulation and the air tightness has to be perfect. Just like if you have a belt, you got to rely upon it.
Mostly you do that with spray foam, I would imagine.
Spray foam or other techniques, but the air tightness is important. So condensation, if there's condensation forming in there, there's probably air leaks involved where it's getting past insulation and touching a cold surface, or there's a lack of insulation on the interior surface, and that's causing the condensation.
Well, I'll just chime in that if you are seeing ice dams on the outside of your house year after year, and it's starting to bug you, and maybe you're getting tired of going out there and raking it off with a rake, this is the perfect opportunity and excuse for you to go to our website or go online and try to find a contractor who can come out and do an assessment, an energy assessment for you. We'll give you $400 off for it, and they'll do a little crawling around and some air sealing while they're there. But they can identify the source of that problem, and that's got to be your first step. So if you are seeing that on a consistent basis, it's a signal to you to go online or pick up the phone and get one of these contractors to come out and give you an assessment and do some air sealing.
We'll go to Karen calling from Camden. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. This is a little tangential to winterization, but one of your guests mentioned heat pump water heaters, and I'm curious about new technology that are actually hybrid electric heat pump water heaters that could maybe go in your basement when your basement's not necessarily warm enough, then they could use electric, and then when it's warm enough, they could go to heat pump to heat the water.
That's a thing that works, and I'm not.
Most of them are that.
Most of them have that capacity, that capability built in, so they can switch over to, when they say hybrid, I think what they're referring to, and Richard can correct me, I think they're meaning that if for some reason the situation won't work well anymore at a given moment to be using the heat pump approach, it can switch over to just basic electric resistance heating, yeah. And yep. It'll do that for a while until the situation is corrected, and it's a good opportunity to go back to heat pumping. But those heat pump version water heaters in the correct situation can cut your energy use by half for water heating. And water heating is about how we use about a quarter of all the energy in our homes in Maine. So it can really add up, especially, and we are targeting situations where people are already using an electric water heater. So if they have an electric resistance water heater, and that's the cheapest one you find, if your old one dies, you want to go to one of the big box stores or your plumber goes to their distributor to get a replacement, that's the moment when we want to say, hey, time out. Don't just replace it with another one of those. Go to this newer version. Go to this newer version, as long as it's appropriate for your house, and you will cut your energy consumption from that thing and your costs to keep that water warm by half.
And you have a rebate for that,
and too. We have a really great rebate right now. It's between $600 and $750. So that really helps chop the difference in cost, the difference in price down for the customer. So it's about the same as what you would see with just the regular old-fashioned resistance electric water heater.
Your heating contract. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is there a website specifically that would have information about different types of or different options for those? Or
gee, the Efficiency Maine website has all that stuff.
It has lots of information. Great.
Yeah. And your heating contractor, unless you're handy and want to try to install it yourself, this is Maine after all. But your heating contractor can also guide you through that process. Some of it has to do with sizing. If you have very little demand for hot water and your shower head isn't like the Amazon rain that has 1,000 little holes, if it's an efficient one, then you don't need as large a tank.
And if you have a house full of teenagers, you may need that.
Yeah. So you might need the straight electric rather than the heat pump to save the day in those times. But also at the same time, it can dehumidify your basement as a side effect, which is really nice. It makes it a little cooler down there. So if you have living space in the basement, it can be problematic. And they can be a little noisy like a refrigerator, not hugely noisy, but it's more noisy. But there's so many benefits in most cases.
All right. Well, Karen, thanks so much for calling and good luck to you. We are going to take another quick break when we come back. More of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. On the next Speaking in Maine, a USM roundtable sponsored by the Camden Conference.
We still run the mistake of elevating the trivial to the same level as issues that are clearly more important.
Five distinguished news editors ask, is the press fair to President Trump? Among the panelists are Portland Press Herald city editor Catherine Lee and Walter Robinson, whose reporting at the Boston Globe inspired the movie Spotlight. You can hear the discussion on Speaking in Maine, Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Maine Public Radio. And if you're looking for something to do or want to let other Mainers know about an event that your organization is sponsoring, Maine Public has a resource for you, the Community Calendar on mainepublic.org. It's easy to enter information about your event, just fill out the form. Likewise, it's easy to find events. You can search by category, date, or location. Maine Public's Community Calendar features hundreds of events, bringing Mainers together with concerts, exhibitions, workshops, lectures, and more. It's all at our website, mainepublic.org.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, getting your home ready for the cold weather ahead. Joining me today, Richard Burbank of Evergreen Home Performance, Michael Stoddard with Efficiency Maine, and Tux Turkle with the Portland Press Herald. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. I want to ask you all, how, Tux, does the price of oil affect how much people invest in their home efficiency?
So one thing I notice is that when oil prices really spike, we get a lot more interest as a newspaper in this subject. Right now, I was looking this morning, it's about $2.30 a gallon in the Portland area, which seems to be a threshold where people are comfortable. And so what we were talking about earlier, this is actually a very, very good time to invest in weatherization because it's not a panic situation. You have a little more money than you may when oil's $4 a gallon, which it has happened before. And so it's also a comfort issue. Like, you can be more comfortable and you can save money, and you do it at a pace now that's right for you.
Want to add to that, Michael?
Yeah, I think in addition to that, a lot of folks who may be, you know, we sometimes talk about or hear about how Maine has an older population and we have older homes. So we have old building stock and we have people who are, in some cases, trying to figure out whether they can age in place, stay in the home that they're in. And energy costs are a big consideration, whether they can afford to stay in that home. But if you think you're going to be there for several more years, that really opens the door to you, I think, to look at this as an investment, because you could be, with some good insulating and maybe a more efficient heating system, you could be looking at reducing your heating costs by 20 to 30% quite easily. And that's real money. I mean, the average Mainer is spending something like $1,600 to $2,000 a year on heating. So to be able to cut that by 20, 30, 40%, you look at that as a return on your investment. It suddenly has become more affordable for you to stay in that home. And as Tuck said, you're more comfortable. So this is a good time to be thinking about it like an investment decision.
We have an email from Mark that supports what you've just said. He says, we have a two-story home built in the 1960s. We had an energy audit done 6 years ago. We decided to change out our single-pane windows for triple-pane and converted our boiler to gas, as a line was across the street from our house in Brunswick. We went from a $4,800 annual oil bill to a $2,800 gas bill. I feel it is worth looking at upgrades no matter where you live. So a voice of support for what you guys are saying here today. We're going to go to Susan in Brunswick. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi there. This is a very interesting and useful discussion. Thank you. For several years, we were living on borrowed time with our oil hot water boiler. And I knew it when we would get, you know, cleaning or whatever, and the technician would say, you know, you should think about this new, and of course, always pitching the oil burner. But I finally found an opportunity to actually do an upgrade, and I thought, I just want to get out of the whole petroleum cycle, do something that's cleaner and more effective, and not feel like I'm trapped into the heating oil bit again. And so I did a lot of research and ended up buying heat pump systems and also a hybrid heat pump hot water heater. And I love them. They're wonderful. I enjoyed some help from the Efficiency Maine financing program, the rebate. I had an energy audit long before taking this step, so I knew where things were, and we had addressed most of the insulation issues, but that turned out that was very interesting. But I wanted to point out that heat pumps can actually, at least some of them, can warm larger areas. It's not just a one-room solution. If you have an open concept floor plan or you prop doors open, they have very good systems for directing the air through your various rooms and shifting it this way and that. Also, I found that at least some of them, at the point where I purchased them, Mitsubishi was the only one, but there may be others now. Some of these heat pumps can be more than just supplemental heat in the, and some of them, including the ones that I bought, will on a standalone basis, they're rated to go well below zero. And,
great.
And I thought that was really wonderful to know.
Well, thanks, Susan. And Michael, yep?
Well, Susan is describing a phenomenon that more and more Mainers are grabbing onto and enjoying, and I'm really glad to hear her story. I think partly it picks up a comment that Tux was making a minute ago about the fact that even though oil prices and gas prices are quite a bit lower than they were in prior years, we're still seeing very steady demand in the marketplace for high-efficiency heating systems and weatherizing homes. And I attribute some of that to people's increasing consciousness of concern about sustainable energy approaches and climate change concerns and trying to do our part to reduce our carbon footprint. And certainly switching to these high-efficiency electric systems is a step in that direction. I also want to take this opportunity to note that we are concerned that people who are putting in heat pumps aren't getting the maximum benefit from them because they're not using them as much as they could. Some people actually think that they're supposed to maybe use it as a backup system, and that is not what we recommend. We recommend that you use it as the primary heating system in the space that you have and have it fill up as much of the space as it can, just like Susan was saying. So they absolutely can heat a significant part of a house that's a larger house, or at least and potentially an entire smaller space. So they can be used very effectively to heat a lot of the house, if not the whole thing.
We have an email from Michael. My monitor 441 is probably on its last legs. We are interested in a mini split heat pump, but our condo association has not approved outdoor units. Is it possible to put the outdoor unit in my garage attic, which has two standard size gable vents and also soffit vents along the eaves?
Probably not. I'm not an expert in it, but I've never seen it, and I've been in hundreds of attics, and I don't think so.
Okay, well, good luck, Michael. Maybe you need to change your condo association rules there. We'll go to Susan calling from Portsmouth. Hi, Susan, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. So, yes, I live in New Hampshire. I'm a single woman. My house is a very old New Englander. I had a heating unit put in about 22 years ago. It's a Bernada system, I believe. Crown Freeport is what it says on it. Every time I think about replacing it, I have friends that look at it and say, you shouldn't replace this. It's a workhorse. You can replace everything on it. It's not computerized. So my house is kind of always cold. I have a total gas, you know, everything runs on gas. I'd like to find someone in the New Hampshire area that can come in and do an audit that's, you know, not affiliated with anything that would give me an honest opinion. Could you guys help me with that?
I do have some colleagues out in New Hampshire. It's been a number of years since I've been in contact with them, but Google can be your friend. You can look for a BPI certification, the Building Performance Institute certification for energy auditors. Sometimes utilities run these programs. I heard you mention gas, so you know I would check in with your utility. And if you're really in a bind, you can call the Laconia Community College, and I know the professor there who leads the trainings in weatherization might be able to give you some clues. He'll kill me for giving that out.
Okay. That'll be my last resort. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. An email from Robert. He writes, there are good reasons in some cases to replace old windows, but saving money through reduced energy loss is rarely one of them. Some studies show that paybacks can be many decades and even more than 100 years. That's the same advice I've gotten as well, that it's sometimes nice to have new windows, but they're expensive. Maybe better to try to reduce the draft and, you know, maybe buy some good blinds.
Yeah, but blinds, you know, the physics of comfort is very helpful to understand as you're strategizing, but a cold surface will do a lot to reduce your comfort. And it might not be directly an energy savings, but there can be a huge comfort savings. So the window inserts, a sheet that you tack up between the window and yourself, the window because it's cold and your skin because you're warm, you're the sunshine in the room, you're the bonfire. And the heat travels from your skin to the coldest thing in the room.
You know, we didn't mention this, but in my house, every night I go and I close insulated blinds and shades.
We do too.
And it makes a huge difference. And just you prove it to yourself, stand in front of an open window on a cold night and then close them and stand in front of the window.
And then in the morning.
In the morning, when you open up, you're going to see frost or ice in the back. That's proof right there of how much colder that window is versus the inside of your house.
But lift those blinds, right, especially for a south-facing window because
the sun
is very warm. Yeah. Yep. We're going to go to Barbara calling from Hollis. Hi, Barb.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Go ahead.
I'm calling. I'm wondering if you would ask your guest to comment on wiring that you see that zigzags along roof lines and also like in roof valleys to prevent ice buildup, if that's effective.
What do you mean by layering?
Wiring.
Yeah.
You mean the heaters?
Electric coils. Yeah.
The heaters to melt snow.
Wires. Exactly. And they zigzag along roof lines or they go through valleys, and I'm just wondering how effective they are.
Well, they're effective at treating some of the issues, and sometimes roofs are designed such that they're really, really tough to fix without really, really expensive reworking of architecture. So that can be your last resort, but they really should be a last resort. There could be an underlying reason why ice dams are causing problems. So trying to diagnose that and fix it directly is generally recommended. But there are some times where the roofs were just built so poorly that's the only way you can address them without redesigning the whole roof.
So it might be because of a shallow roof as opposed to a steep one?
Is it fairly simple? Is it a simple roof, or are there a bunch of joints?
Yeah, very simple.
Very simple? It could be lack of ventilation in the attic, and it could be air leakage, and it could be lack of insulation. So figuring out why heat's getting up there. Do you have a chimney running through the attic?
Yes.
Is there a wood stove on that chimney?
Yes. Well, it's a fireplace, a wood fireplace.
Yeah. So I see a lot of ice buildup because that chimney is very warm because wood heat generates a lot more heat in the chimney. And so that chimney could be heating that whole attic and melting the snow. And there's things you can do to try to figure out, number one, getting that chimney chase sealed. The hole around the chimney sometimes is open to the attic. You can try to seal that. and you have to follow very careful guidelines that are recommended by the fire department and fire safety rules. If you need to, you may be able to insulate a chimney, but not all chimneys, and I do not recommend doing it without consulting with a fire safety expert, but that could be the source.
Barb, thanks for calling. Nice to hear your voice. Stephen in Facebook asks, our house in Whitefield was built 2 years ago. It's very well insulated, very airtight, and is heated entirely with air source heat pumps. They work well, having no trouble even well below zero weather. We also installed solar on the roof. All of our electric costs are about $350 a year for all the energy we use.
Great.
We haven't talked about solar yet. We're almost out of time, but the cost of solar is way down from what it was just a few years ago. And we used to be talking about solar hot water, but now the trend is solar electric. That's where the big difference is, isn't it, Tux?
It is, and it's because the heat pump, as he's talking about, it's a way to, on a sunny day, you know, possibly be heating your house with electricity from the sun. So I think it's a good trend. I think what we haven't talked about as much is that even though people like that trend, there's a limited amount of us who can do that. So I always still say I'd like to see people focus on the nuts and bolts weatherization before they think about solar. Although solar is great because your neighbors can see it and they cannot see the caulking that you put in your baseboard.
Yeah, and Tesla pretty soon is going to have these solar shingles, supposedly. You don't have the great big panels on your roof. Final thoughts as we step out into the winter. Richard, what's your one tip for our audience today?
Well, there's lots of do-it-yourself stuff that you can do, and you can Google the Energy Star website. But a few quick ones. Close all your windows. When I'm testing, I see so many windows open. Check out your bulkhead in the basement. Make sure your attic hatch is closed. And if you have leaky recess lights on your top floor, consider an LED full lens replacement that can make them tighter and much more energy efficient.
Ooh, and Michael, final thoughts from you.
Well, it is the holiday season is coming upon us when people give gifts, and I have a gift idea. If anybody has either elder parents or grandparents, they know that those folks should not be getting up on chairs and stepladders. And I'm thinking of my dad as I'm saying this, because when you see him up there, it's not a good thing. He should not be changing light bulbs anymore, and he doesn't have to if I come and give him LED lights and put them in all of the sockets in his house. So that's what I'm planning to do for people for
Christmas. Boy, the
for
kids
Christmas
in your house
holidays.
Must be so excited
because it's just a
Christmas present.
Hey, this is a gift that will potentially save them from a bad fall. And I think if you really love somebody, put some LED lights in for them so they don't have to get up on any chairs anymore.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we can't talk about a programmable thermostat as a great gift as well. That's Michael Stoddard, Executive Director of Efficiency Maine. Tux Turkle, a staff writer for Portland Press Herald, covering energy issues, and Richard Burbank, President, CEO, and Energy Advisor with Evergreen Home Performance. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. Owen Manahan took your calls. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and by Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we will discuss November's headlines, the month in review. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.